Hello, everybody. Welcome to alarms are going off. Welcome to another reality show.
No, another reality show. All right. Wait, maybe this is another reality show.
We're all blending around here, so it's the Mystical Mother Earth show. It's another reality show. My 4 o'clock cell phone alarm is going off, which is so funny because it wasn't even set for the show. That's what I do when I'm in the woods.
Oh, that's
and yeah, this is going to be quite a ride, everybody. I'm Golden Hawk. I am your schizophrenic guide today. joyfully, I am all over the place and grounded. I am definitely living in the paradox joyfully and with my own angst. And with me today is, of course, the enchanting and the lovely, living also paradoxically, the lovely Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you. I love that it was the Mystical Mother Earth show in another reality.
You know, I swear it's like everything is hitting me. I feel grounded, and then the minute something pops up like an alarm on a phone, you know, I'm the pinwheel, and the air has blown, the wind has blown, and I am spinning away. And
you do it so well.
thank you very much.
I'm right there with you.
Right on.
You know,
baby.
So
right on. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just
so,
being authentic, right? That's
yeah. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
And quick on my feet. And I actually enjoy where you go.
Right on. Well, and I do too. I do too because you know, if anything that this time has taught me, it has taught me that being fluid, you know, me and Janine have so much to talk about. We haven't done a show in like 3 weeks. And, of course, you know, the day we decide to do the show is, you know, December 21st, where there is so much, you know, I don't know if anybody else has actually been outside today, but there is so much energy moving from wind and clouds to, I mean, I can see energetic trail lines in my peripheral vision, and there's vortexes forming in front of my eyes in the middle of space, and my hands are tingling, and my body's tingling. It's so funny because I got so much, you know, the end of time, you know what that reminds me, the end of time. We're in the middle of the birth canal right now. I feel like we all, you know, our water broke. We dropped into the birth canal, which is where we are right now. And the powers that be are going, okay, this is the end of time. It's like, hello, the baby hasn't even been born yet.
Right.
Well, it's like, I dare you to stop in the middle of the birth canal and tell me this process is complete.
When I saw, you know, you wrote on the picture part of the show, like, join us for the end of time. And, I, you know, of course, I just started laughing. And, you know, why that just seems so funny and lighthearted to me. Because, I don't know, there's something so ironical about it. And it does feel, I do feel very humorous. And, you know, I don't know, or
yeah, whimsical. And
or
yeah.
I feel whimsical, pan-like. You know, so, you know, I did just come back from Ireland. I was in the most beautiful place for 10 days, like in this valley where there's just sheep and mountains and lakes and rivers and waterfalls. And, you know, I got to read my story to some kids, like maybe 100 kids overall. And,
nice.
And you know, share a big piece of my life, 5 years of work, and really had a, you know, it was extraordinary. And so I came home, and believe me, like, you know, there were points that as we all noticed, that it almost seems like with every achievement or, you know, wonderful experience, there's initiations. I mean, like, for instance, you know, so I would call that, you know, handling the tension or the torque. I mean, I remember not only did I stay by myself in the middle of nowhere, you know, probably a mile or 2 miles away from anyone at night, and it's, you know, it gets dark there at 5 and doesn't really get light till like 8:30, and you know, it was a first for me staying there by myself. And then the one morning on Friday, last Friday, a week from today, a week, yeah, you know, today.
Okay.
I had to get up, and I had to drive to a beautiful town on the ocean called Dingle. But in order to get there, I had to drive over Connor Pass. And first of all, so I woke up and I wanted to be early because I never like the press of time, like, you know, looking at the clock. I just don't
like it.
I agree.
So
I get up and, you know, it's still dark out and it's raining. And I'm like, there it is. You know, you got the weather, you got the wind, you got the dark, and you got to go over Connor Pass. You're on the other side of the car, on the other side of the road over there in Ireland, and I'm pretty good at that. And I said, but Connor Pass is a really such a beautiful road, but it's like at one point, you know, it's sheer drop on one side, sheer mountain up on the other, and it's one.
Oh, wow.
It's enough for one car. So you have to time it right. And I could tell I was a little apprehensive, you know, but there was no way I wasn't going to handle Connor Pass. And so, I could just tell that there was these initiations of myself. And I as I approached, and the roads over there are amazing. You know, they're small. People fly on them. You know, and I love that about the Irish. It's just
they're fearless and they're crazy.
They seem less neurotic. They are. I mean, so I was like, well, if they could do it, I could do it. And I remember, you know, acknowledging that I was apprehensive, acknowledging that I was nervous, completely aware that you're nervous, but I completely have such experience in doing it anyway or following through I'm aware of that. So as I was getting closer to the pass, because you're on all these country roads, I remember out of nowhere, I climbed the Grand Teton with my brother Kerry, like maybe 10 years ago. And it was really, you know, a challenge with ropes and all that stuff and a guide. And, you know, I remember, and it, you know, it was pretty crazy actually, but I do love mountains. So I'm not a stranger on a mountain. So I remember that the guide who was from Iran, this amazing guy who had led people on Himalayas and all that stuff, he could tell that, hey, at one point I was hyperventilating. He goes, okay, let's stop. And then, I was breathing, and he goes, calm down, it's okay. But I was doing it anyway. And this one guy behind me said to me, geez, thanks so much, because, like, I wanted to stop, but, like, I didn't want to be, like, the wuss. I was like, oh, happy to be the wuss. So anyway, so we're climbing, and, you know, you sleep over one night, and then you start at the climb at 11,000 feet with headlamps, and, it was serious. I mean, so here I am, and I'm the weakest climber, because my brother was a good climber, and then there's these two other guys I didn't know. So, of course, I was in the lead, because they put the weakest climber in the front and the best climber in the back.
Okay.
So, but the guide was right in front of me, and then, you know, we're going up this place, and I swear to God, I think it was called, like, the winding staircase, because every pitch has a name, which is really cool.
Okay.
So we go up this, and, you know, the man must have, one thing about these guides, this was the Exum guides in the Grand Tetons, they are so humble and so not show-offs and so just like moving along, you know, elegant, quiet, you know, no, none of this macho stuff. I mean, beautiful, just beautiful people that respect the mountain, but also sense, you know, the client. And so we're going up this like spiral staircase part, and, you know, he turns around at me and he looks at me and he goes, never doubt yourself again. And you know, my eyes well up, because we must have been close to the top, but I didn't know that. But there was something in him that just was complimenting me, you know. And I go, okay, you know, okay. So as I'm approaching Connor Pass, you know, just a week ago, out of nowhere, that moment with him when he turned around and looked at me and said, never doubt yourself again. And it just popped into myself, you know, me in the car driving. And I went, Jay, you can do it. You're fine. And I really felt the shift of, like, I'm fine. And so, like, three cars were behind me, and, you know, I could feel that they were like, wow, this person's a little slow for us. So what I did was I pulled over by this little section, and there was a waterfall, let them pass me, got right out behind them on their ass, and just, like, zoomed with them. And I felt like a pack.
Oh, nice.
It was so cool.
Yeah, that was
so
smart, right? Ride the trail.
Ride
the
trail.
Fly.
Right,
yeah.
Ride the trail. And also, you know, four cars going through the singular pass was perfect because no one else was going to try to go. They were going to have to wait for us.
Right.
Because that's what you do. You have to watch and you have to go when the other person. So this was the self-initiation that, you know, I was confronted with last Friday, and end up in this beautiful little town in, you know, jutting out into the Atlantic Ocean. It's the westernmost part of Europe. That's one of their fun things that they say. And and then I end up in a library with, like, I don't know, like 40 fourth, fifth, and sixth grade boys from a boys' school. And I get to read three chapters. But I was just noticing, like, you know, With everything that I'm moving forward with, there's always that self-aware moment of initiation of, you know, are you, you know, you could go forward. Are you going to do it? And it's like, yes, you know. But the awareness of the tension or the nervousness, that's okay. You know, it's like if that wasn't there, you kind of wouldn't know it was an initiation. You know,
that's
so
true. That's very true.
Right. So, you know, I think that, you know, whether we know it or not, you know, here it is today, and I'm sure multiple times we're being self-initiated to move forward. And like I heard myself talking to you late earlier, you know, when I said, I was out there today, you know, doing some stuff. I'm feeling the little bit of wildness, and it's like, well, I kind of, you know, made a choice. I wasn't going to, you know, be a part of it, you know, and it's like, you know, so there is an aspect of choice, you know, so that's also an interesting thing that we think, well, we don't have a choice, and it's like, yeah, you do, actually, remember how you said about
how you respond to something, I believe
template,
it's the choice.
Yeah, it's like a template, it was just, you know, I'm just noticing those moments of nervousness, and you do it anyway. You know, it's kind of like the little meter goes, hey, something's going on. And it's like, okay, I'm going with it, you know. So that's where I'm at. And, you know, it's been pretty incredible coming home and then on Monday. And then we wait to do the show today. I loved that.
Yeah, well, you know, as I look back on it, it's like, wow, Colleen, what the hell were you thinking?
What do you mean?
I'm schizophrenic today. I mean, it's no joke. I mean, and my chat room is down, so if anybody's writing on the chat room,
computer's
running.
Around.
Yeah, I don't. So I hope everybody else's chat room is up. My chat room's not. But
Let me look.
But
No,
okay. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's like, you know, how do I put this? I love doing big shows, but, you know, I'm pretty transparent. I'm not always, quote unquote, at my best when I do my biggest shows. You know, that's kind of humorous, but there's a part of me that subconsciously plans these things, you know, because it reminds me of when we did the roundtable with, you know, George and Cynthia, and I think, what would I have? 2 or 3 cups of coffee that day.
Like, I don't remember.
You know,
I don't remember. Let me think about that. Did you?
Yeah, I wasn't a mess, but I was energetically.
You were great.
Well, and today,
here's
the funny thing, though. Of course, today, nothing. I had a cup of coffee today instead of tea, and I'm laughing, going, you know, it's almost like I feel like on some level, you know, I'm the poster child. You know, for all the little fuck ups that all of us do.
Yeah.
And I do it on some level publicly because it really doesn't change anything. And I get that. You know, it's like I was telling Janine that, you know, I went to lay outside in Scott's backyard and there are literally levels of clouds, like, and they're moving. The wind is definitely it's kicking it. It's very gusty, and the clouds were, you know, cruising along. It definitely, you know, it looked like a river of clouds. So one of the things I was noticing is when I set up my little thing to lay out, and I'm looking up, and as soon as I lay down, the clouds start dissipating over, you know, above Scott's house. And, you know, I'm like, no way. That is not my frequency doing that. So I kind of let it go and just began watching, because as soon as a hole opened up, I could actually see the different layers of clouds. Mm-hmm. One layer moving in one direction, another layer moving in another direction. You know, they were crisscrossing. They were not just all blowing in the same direction, which, by the way, when I'm at the reservoir in the forest, I have seen up to like 7 levels of frequencies moving through the water. And it's not only that they're moving simultaneously in multiple directions. I mean, they'll be coming at me. They'll be going away from me. They'll be going left to right. They'll be going right to left. So they're not only moving in different directions simultaneously, literally it's different types of waves. So the patterns are actually different as well. And when you start noticing this in nature, you really get that there is a part of our personality that, you know, really, you know, is just here to be in the duality of it all and be in our minds and totally schizophrenic, undecisive, paranoid, and, you know, oh, my God, I can't make a right the choice to save my life. And simultaneously be very grounded with all the change, all of the simultaneous directionals that, because what's happening in that water, if we're 80% water, that's happening
right,
to us.
Right, right.
And I, you know, connecting with nature, there's the paradox of, like, I was talking to my friend Dennis, and, you know, he goes, why are you so hyperactive? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, well, you know, because I am. Like, I've been hyperactive my whole life. You know, I go, but the opposite of being hyperactive is, you know, I'm very enthusiastic. It's easy for me to be enthusiastic about anything I get excited about. You know, I don't need to search for enthusiasm. It's right there. And he goes, that's not an opposite of, you know, hyperactive. And I was like, you know, he couldn't tell me. I was like, well, what is the opposite then? What would you say the opposite? Because doesn't that sound opposite to you? One is, you know, one is my mind going, you got to do more, and you got to think more, and you got to get up, you got to get your answers. That when I say hyperactive, that's what I'm referencing, the mind. Hyperactive mind.
Right.
Where,
which
when
is
I
what,
drop,
like a lot of verbal, like, you know, explain that to me. Like,
okay,
if you're,
so
if you're
hyperactive
by
mind
yourself,
is thinking,
thing.
a ton of thinking, a ton of analyzing.
Okay.
And it, in all honesty, the hyperactive mind loops. It never finds a space of, I don't find solutions in hyperactive mind. I simply ride the loop-de-loop as long as I'm riding the hyperactive mind. There is a never-ending surge of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which so is enthusiasm, by the way, but enthusiasm feels better.
You mean and enthusiasm feels better, the word, or are they the same? Or,
well,
like, cause, you know, that is like an interesting, you know, very subtle distinction, because, you know, I'm very familiar with, like, I notice when I go to do something that, you know, I'm like, I can tell, I'm like, oh, it's a good thing I'm by myself, because I'm full of energy. It's almost like, get out of my way. You know,
okay.
And so, you know, that, what is that? I don't know. It's a lot of energy. I could tell you that. And usually it's like creative energy, but I would imagine for someone else, it would be like, not easy to be around me, maybe, you know, like I become very focused, but like, you know, hyper-focused, but it, but, and I notice it in my body and I'm like, oh, this is, you know, interesting, and I can handle it, but I can imagine that, you know, people might misinterpret it. So I think, you know, I think there's a lot of misinterpreting, because, you are a high energy person, which is interesting because sometimes you'll say, oh, but I'm lazy. I like to sit around. You know, so it's like, funny because,
well, let me just correct you. I never call myself lazy because I don't consider myself lazy. I do like to lie around.
Said that one. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not only because when I'm lying around, I'm working insights.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm asking myself questions. Okay. This popped up for you, and you were triggered by this, and I might have said others may consider me lazy because I lie around.
Oh, that's what you said. That's what you said.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what
okay.
you said. Yeah, yeah. So you know, I think that I wouldn't say. I mean, with every to me, like also with every gift comes a challenge.
Exactly.
And like
yes.
So the gift of like a high energy person or a high enthusiastic person or a passionate person, I mean, they might seem like a whirlwind and dangerous to someone else, which I totally get.
That's funny.
Because I am.
Yeah, no, I've definitely been called a bull in the china shop on several occasions. That's true.
And I was just noticing that today as I was doing things in the house. I was like, whoa, you know, like all the circuits were going, and I'm like, it's a good thing no one's around me because I was very get out of my way. You know, I'm accomplishing something, I'm doing something, and you know, so I'm probably, I would consider myself at times hyper, and I personally enjoy hyper people.
No, well, that's obvious. Clearly that's obvious, I mean, from my perspective. Well, and what I kind of want the audience to hear is that there's a simultaneous, there's layers and levels of awareness because, you know, there's so many people that promote the idea you've got to rid yourself of fear, and I'm going always in my head or in my being going, I can't rid myself of fear, but I can rid myself of the control fear has. You know, if fear stops you in your tracks, then address the fear. But to rid yourself of fear, that's an unnatural goal. It's not about ridding ourselves from fear. It's not about ridding myself of doubt, even. But even though,
was just what I was saying about going over the past. I knew I was nervous.
Exactly.
I knew I was apprehensive. I've been there before. I'm acknowledging, I'm totally aware. I didn't sleep that well the night before because I was thinking about it. So, but did I not go? Of course, I did go, and I had my wits about me, you know. And I my presence or my awareness of being nervous and apprehensive is important. And you know, so it's. I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of. I wasn't judging myself. I was fully
Absolutely.
Aware of it. And then, so these are circumstances that are going to occur and have occurred, you know, for all of us. But I think, you know, it's how we handle it. What do we want to do with it? You know, do you have the experience to go, you know, remember this is what nervousness and apprehension feels like. And, you know, this is how we as, you know, adventurers, explorers, who are as everybody here, actually, this is what we do, you know. And you're
well,
right.
And I think it's worth talking about, you know, the way me and Janine were talking about this earlier, that, you know, our bodies have these sensations in them, and we have been conditioned to believe these sensations, and most of the time these sensations come around nervousness, fear, frustration, you know, all what I would term, you know, the negative feelings of our body.
Well, as we've been told.
Has been conditioned, okay,
right. Right.
Because what I am finding is, within this looking at the water and seeing the seven different levels, first of all, to go deeper into anything, it will shift everything. It will, because once you go deeper, it's almost like the ability to become more fluid. You know, it's so interesting. We are we're becoming aware that we're multidimensional beings. So going deeper is where we'll find the more multiple levels of our beingness. And simultaneously, as we're going deeper, by nature's way, you're also expanding. Because, God, there's so many things I wanted to share over the past few weeks. One of the things that I wanted to share is that, you know, the subconscious mind is playing, it can either be serving us or it can be wreaking havoc with us. And the way I'm starting to understand things is, you know, that the opposites are going to apply in our life, because in wholeness, you can't have just one side of a situation. You're going to have both sides, but the side you might not want might be coming in subconsciously. So, you know, we're focusing on the light because we want to feel good. But what happens is when we focus on the light, we're receiving the subconscious, we're receiving our shadow work. And so when we're receiving the shadow work, so to speak, when it's coming up, when it comes up from our subconscious, it's like we don't have the road signs that say, you know, like
right,
Janine might
right.
have had a road sign that said, listen, the next 4, you know, miles, you're going to, it's single file, and, you know, here's
yeah.
a preparation. So it started this unfolding and this revealing started coming to me that, okay, so what if we flip it? What me and Janine are pretty much always sharing is that we go into our darkness consciously.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's working behind the scenes without us really having any power over is the light. Because, see, it's going to work no matter what. So if I'm focusing consciously on my darkness, what's supporting me from behind is the light.
Exactly.
Because it's got to show
yeah.
it's got to show up somewhere. And, boy, I can tell you that having the subconscious part of me being my biggest fan, so to speak, and my biggest supporter, mm-hmm. it has dramatically changed so many experiences that I've been having, including the experience of just recently, for those on Facebook, my mechanic, I found out, you know, I created a situation where he charged me $191 for a part that I found online for $35. And, you know, I blew a gasket, all puns intended. So, you know, I went through my emotions. I got angry, and it was so interesting because at one point, now, just so everybody knows the background, my mechanic is an ex-boyfriend of mine who's also beyond just an ex-boyfriend. We're friends. You know, I'm pretty much friends with all of my exes, except the ones that are dead. So I got very angry because I could feel it. I immediately went into the paradigm of, you know, does he think I'm an idiot? What, because I'm a girl, he's going to, you know, he's triple charging me. So, I just went into the whole paradigm of, you know, he thinks because I'm female, he can do this to me. And how dare him? How dare him overcharge me like this? And, you know, he put minimal, he put $30 for labor and $191 for the part. And I literally thought, you know, he's scamming me. You know, like you're really charging me, you know, you're making it up somewhere. You're trying to look like a great guy by only charging me $30. And my father was like, he goes, all right, calm down. And I immediately said to my father, no, don't tell me to calm down. You know, don't you get pissed when you're ripped off? I was like, I could immediately see my father was uncomfortable with me being angry, which
mm-hmm.
I handled that just by saying, I said, I have every right to be angry, Dad, because it's what I feel. Now, you have every right to say, don't be angry in my bedroom. Get out. You know, I don't have to be next to you while I don't have to solicit you into my angry zone, but I'm going to be angry because I am.
Right.
And I say this because I can't emphasize enough that when you're feeling anger is not the enemy. If you're feeling it, you don't want to stop that momentum. That momentum is part of the flow. Because as I allowed myself to be angry, then pearls of wisdom started flowing in. My good friend Kevin Gonzalez, he shared something about the perspective from my mechanic in a way that made it was essentially the soul perspective. And it was like, I was so ready to be open because I had not stuffed my anger. Now I also recognized I didn't want to sit in the bedroom and, you know, speak harshly about this guy, because my father's friends with him too. You know, it's like, you know, it wasn't about spewing, you know, my shit all over the walls. It was just about allowing myself to feel what I was feeling. And as that ran its course, I was then open to feeling a more expanded point of view. So I started expanding, but I could still feel, I could see Kevin's point of view, but I could still feel that I didn't trust him. It had now shifted. The paradigm had now shifted from not him necessarily screwing me and taking advantage of me. I now had the experience of, I don't know what to trust, you know, because I had spoken to my mechanic. He had given me some money back as a sign of, you know, well-being, you know, a sign, you know, he didn't want me angry. And I told him I didn't want to be angry, but that it had to happen organically. I can't fake this. I'm here to process it and do it because I don't want to be angry.
Mm.
So I ended up talking to Janine the next day, and you know, we had this wonderful conversation because I immediately said to her, okay, listen, you know, here's the situation with my friend. And I want to tell you first and foremost, here's what I'm looking for. I am not looking to try and figure out why my mechanic charged me more. I'm looking to find out why I don't trust what he's saying. Because I can't tell you enough. These are the what I call the director's point of view. You want the director's point of view. Because here's the ultimate thing that the reason why I'm feeling like crap at the time I was talking to Janine was not because this situation happened. It was because I couldn't trust. He was telling me, listen, I'm doing this because I buy the best parts. I don't shop online. You know, they cost more because there's a better warranty. Everything he was saying had validity, and I couldn't trust whether he was telling me the truth or not. My trust had shut down, and I was freaking out that my trust had shut down. God damn it, bring that trust back up, because this is not the time to not trust. So I went into all of my facilities. I told Janine, I went into code red. Code red, we got to find trust again, because if I can trust, I find for myself, I can release people, I can release belief systems, I can release everything as long as I trust in what I'm doing. Janine, you were exquisite, and you know, the first thing out of Janine's mouth, which was so interesting, before any of the trust issue even came up, I basically told her the P's and Q's of what had happened with the pricing and all that. The first thing out of Janine's mouth was, you know, I wouldn't believe everything you see online. You know, there's clearly, you know, there's a lot of scams that happen online. And, of course, I was hacked. My email was hacked, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And in that instant moment, in her innocence of just that being her response, immediately came online, my mechanic's telling me the truth. I knew that. I knew. So now I have the focus of where I want to be. Okay, so now I've got the wisdom of Janine, who clearly understands life from a expanded point of view, and I mean consistently. Boy, if you don't have someone like this in your life, call Janine. It's so important to have that consistent, that person who can consistently put you back in the template of the soul's point of view. Because what's happening now, which is what's happening in the water, is there's so many shifts going on. So the trigger is I'm triggered to believe I'm female. It's an auto mechanic, you know, template that I'm going to be screwed because I don't know what the hell's going on in my car. You know, I don't know how to fix it or what parts it needs.
Yeah.
But the new template is from soul perspective, and this is what Robert Young said, and I swear I truly believe this. Okay, Robert Young said that at least at this point in time, there are people who flow financially. I know myself to be one of them. I'm not a wealthy person, But I really do know that money just flows to me. I have multiple ways to make income, and it's always been there for me, this lack of fear. I don't have a fear that money won't come to me. And that's why it's easy to spend, because it always comes back. And Robert Young said that there will be people in the community that those who are flowing, it's important to give to those who have trouble with it flowing.
Mm.
And like it started clicking to me that, you know, my mechanic works for himself. He doesn't have his own he works out of his own garage, you know, at his house. He's not working for anybody. And I'm very supportive of small businesses. And, like, it was just so funny because the minute I was in focus that he was an integrity triple charging me, I then started understanding, well, Goldie, of course, the gift that you have is this money does come to you. And so gift it. Because
yeah.
He needs it right now. So don't worry, you know, once I trusted him, I didn't have any trouble doing that. And which I love being in a space of, I love being able to spend money and not have any issues around it. Because I don't balance my checkbook. I just do whatever comes to me to do. And it's very interesting because it's very new for me. This year is the first time, and no lie, in a very long time, I bought everybody Christmas gifts this year. I mean, Scott, my dad, all the kids I'm taking care of. I haven't done this in a very long time, but it just felt very natural. And it was all kind of stimulated from this whole experience of falling out of trust and then falling back into it.
Yeah.
And Carolyn May said something very interesting. It wasn't Carolyn. It was Eckhart Tolle this afternoon when I was outside. He talked about our connection with nature. And he goes, there's something very powerful. He goes, you know, we grow up with a connection with nature. And often as we get older, we lose that connection. And it's so funny. At this point, kids barely even make, you know, there really is, even younger, you cannot have a connection with nature, which makes sense on so many levels why, you know, there's a lot of people drugging their children, but that's a whole other story. Anyways, Eckhart goes, when you have connection with nature, then you fall out of it, and then you find it again. He's like, there's a deeper sense of appreciation and gratitude because, like, for me, I can really see how much nature is for me the connection to my instincts.
Uh-huh.
And my instincts are so incredibly important to me because of the conditioning of my mind to want to run my world. It's like letting go of my mind will only come, well, it comes with grace because of my instincts and my connection with Mother Nature. Carolyn Mace calls it the pagan point. And it was just hitting me that it wasn't about the money so much. The money was what I was the tool I was using that pissed me off initially and triggered me. But what was really underneath all this was I need to trust. I need to know that the choices I make in life are mine to make. And I don't care if I make a choice and nobody else supports it. If I believe in it, that's good enough for me. I've made several choices in my life that, you know, most of the people I know didn't support, but they worked for me. So I've learned enough to know I'm going to make the choices for me because, you know, it was very important to me after I had bashed my mechanic on Facebook when I came to this realization to go back on Facebook and go, listen, I have a new understanding about this.
Yeah.
And in this new understanding, I'm going to behave differently because the key to creating a new world and a new – in order to be in a new frequency, we must behave differently than we did. And we've got to have this willingness to flow in
yeah.
new ways. And I'll tell you, if you could see the seven layers of the water being – each layer being different shapes and vibrations, it's so clear that behavior matches certain levels. And, you know, being pissed off because I'm female, come on, how old is that? We're talking the 60s. You know, it's really time to, what's potentially there is a community of souls, which John, oh, I didn't want to use his name. I'm purposely not using his name because I want him to have anonymity, whatever that word is. I want him to be anonymous. But the truth is, we're soulmates. You know, he cares about me. And that means he wants to spend more money so these parts have lifetime warranties. That's genuine. You know, it's like, you know, and I was really asking myself, can you see that, Goldie? Can you genuinely appreciate that's genuine and you're not being ripped off? And the answer was, yeah. Because in my alignment, I could feel that's what the alignment of Mother Nature. That's what it literally, by me spending time in Mother Nature, I can feel the alignment of the authenticity of people around me. Now, again, that's not to say that I can't still be duped. You know, I'm just telling you that was my experience this week. It seems to be extremely applicable to what is happening December 21st. Right now, there are so many energies vying for your attention. Energies that are artificial. And here's the interesting thing most of all. The artificial energies will scream the loudest. The natural organic ones, they just wait patiently and are there. But there's really, you don't find them mentally. It's in the stillness and the quietness.
But, you know, Goldie, you know, the conversation we had about your mechanic then, and, you know, I brought it up today earlier with us because I was pointing out to you how I thought, you know, it's just so interesting how something like the experience with the mechanic was actually a very important experience. And I remember when you were talking to me about it, but how you started the conversation was, you said, you know, you told me like all the, you know, the details, but then you said, but you know, I don't really want to focus about what about him is going on here. I want to go to focus on what it is about me that's going on here. And that was like, for me, that was the tip off that this was a purposeful event, which always when anything comes up, like trust issues, like, you know, what, fear issues around whatever it is, or how people trigger us on our own personal issues that we're still dealing with, the reason they come up is because they still exist in us. So it's really good news when this stuff comes up because, you know, if like a trust issue wouldn't come up if, like, you know, you had trust down, which, of course, none of us do, really. We're still working on
No, but that's the truth. Yeah. Listen, we need to look at ourselves honestly. Trust issues don't come up if we don't got trust issues.
Right. So the value, so to me, like, it's just like, I love the value of your car mechanic experience was great. It was a great, valuable experience of, and far surpassed, and I think we pointed this out, I pointed this out to you, the value of this surpassed any money or dollar at all because, you know, that's what triggered it. But then you went into trust, but then there was such a value going on in terms of what you were learning about yourself and discovering about yourself. And then it wasn't long before, and I knew the minute you said, I don't really want to focus on what this is about him. This is, what is this for me? And that was like, I went, there it is, you know, and that was the there it is. And then, so, you know, for me, so self-awareness, choice, template, it's not about chasing away the anger or the nervousness. It's about paying attention to it. You know,
there you
regardless
go.
Whether it's the shopping cart lady who's mad at me because I didn't put the cart back right, or, you know, or going over Connor Pass and I know I'm nervous and apprehensive, or you with your car mechanic, or me, you know, staying a week by myself and David, you know, going earlier back to Italy. I process that going, you know, this is what you need right now. You need to be here alone. This isn't about, you know, what I expected and didn't happen. And so it's just, these are like, and I think, you know, they always were, but even more so right now, listening, noticing the feelings, the body, what's coming up. If someone triggers you, don't focus on the person. Focus on what it is for you, because what it's telling you is, here's a piece you can work on, and you can free yourself from being stuck and held hostage to our own, you know, when something comes up, go, oh, okay. And I'll tell you that the little bit of the hump in the road is that we've been conditioned to avoid these feelings. So
right.
All we do is put everything off, and then we wonder why we feel incomplete and weird and, you know, lonely and, you know, it's
confused,
like,
misdirected,
confused.
No confidence.
Right. Yeah. So I'm such a fan of going with paying attention to the discomfort and going, what is that? And I, you know, the thing about nature, which is nature is a natural reflection of ourselves that really does give you back yourself if you allow it to. And it's
does.
So funny because you
it
mentioned
so
the water,
does.
And I'm like, and water's a reflection. And so it's always not about the mechanic. It's about you. You know, it's always
right.
not about Connor Pass. It was me. It was like, you know, what was I going to do? Was I going to stay and go, oh, gee, I'm sorry, I have a cold, I can't come? No. It's like, get over the hump, feel the feelings, and go with them. You know, move through it. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know, and you know, I somehow find it funny when you said, and I thrashed the guy on Facebook. But it was like, but you know, hey, you
well,
got,
because
you,
I was pissed at the time.
No, I know. But I think it's funny for some reason. But I love the fact that, you know what, you can go back and go, hey, I learned a big one about, you know, my own self.
Absolutely.
So it's like, big deal, and he does love you, and he loves taking care of your car and you. So it's like, you know,
exactly.
All well, that, you know, it's all as well, kind of thing. So
well, right, and because, you know, I think it's really important. Like I, when I talk to Janine, here's a paradox. You know, the more I pay attention to something, the easier it is for me to let it go.
Right.
Now,
well, that's another falsehood that we've been taught. You know,
see, exactly.
You know, right.
And don't think because you pay attention to it, that means you have to hold on to it, because you can recondition yourself to let it go after you understand what it is. Because it's almost like, for me, my mind, the left brain has to be kept in the loop of the changes, but the changes don't come from my left brain. The changes come because I've conditioned myself to realize, follow your feelings. Don't follow the logic, because logic, it seems like it's a
yes.
path that doesn't let you off. It has one path. Sorry, go ahead.
No, but it, you know, the feelings. But here's really the important feelings. You know, not the ones that you've been taught are uncomfortable, that you should medicate them away, that they're the important feelings, because they're, to me, it's the body, it's the system of yourself going, hey, you know, you could be running on full voltage power if you really paid attention to these feelings, because there's something here for you. And if you just deal with it, you wouldn't believe the breakthroughs you have. You know, it's like
right.
literally like once it's okay. So just visualize this. So, you know, I'm nervous. It's still dark out. It's raining. I'm on the other side of the road, on the other side of the car. You know, I'm coming up the pass. The pass is really so beautiful, but also, you know, could be intimidating. But literally, and I know this sounds like, you know, Hollywood, but literally, as I went over the single lane pass part, which is the hardest part, and came around the bend, I am not kidding, all I saw was the Atlantic Ocean and clear skies, and I started laughing. It was like, could this be any better perfect? Is this like the director's cut? You know, it's like, you know, out of the rainstorm, the dark wind, and I'm breaking through into the sunlight, and, you know, it was just
all you
so
needed was
funny.
Beethoven Ninth behind you.
And at that very moment, and at the very moment, David from Italy texts me just as I'm, like, breaking over the pass, like, Jay, you know, how are you? Have a great, you know, reading with your, and I thought, that is so ironical, you know, that that he would just sort of tune in to me going over my initiation to get to a very wonderful experience. And so, you know, more and more, I find myself coaching myself, but, you know, even every time those nervousnesses or apprehensions come up, it's like that's where the treasure is. You know, that's where, so the hump would be to face that. That's the change, the facing of it, because, you know, because that's when life starts, it just becomes different. I you know, it's things start flowing in a way that you go, you know, it's like you put out your hand and you know, the feather falls in it, or you go, gee, I wonder, and it's like someone hands you what you were wondering about, or, you know, life just starts taking on this, like, really, you know, incredible thing. And but you don't get there by running away from the discomfort. And that's what I am more and more noticing, that everything we've been told, it's really the opposite.
Well, everything. It is. Yeah. I mean, that, and you know, we were told this at a time where, when we were younger, it just all comes in. We're such little sponges when we're kids. You know, it's like we don't question, which is okay, but we don't, to live by those belief systems today, which means that we're literally, you know, it's interesting because I like Abraham Hicks, you know, where they talk about swimming upstream and all that kind of stuff, meaning I resonate with that. But it's interesting because just recently, you know, I was seeing someone posted, if there's anything you want, you can have it. You just have to, state the intention, relax, and let it go. You know, and I literally put, you know, this was a post. I was like, you know, I have to respectfully disagree because, you know, I've wanted a child my whole life. Not my whole life.
Exactly.
I shouldn't say my whole life. I mean, I had pregnancies when I was a drug addict, and I wasn't going to do babies and coke. That just wasn't going to happen in my world. But you know, post my awakening, I have wanted a child. I have not gotten a child. And this isn't about, you know, nobody can tell me I haven't put enough focus into this. I haven't released it because I've done all these things. But truly what I get is, it is in the desire of me wanting a child, nothing has taught me more the magic of acceptance than the desire of wanting a child. Because, like, one of the things I'm starting to truly notice is, how can I put this, is how these polar opposites that I'm talking about, you know, like, do I have the virtue or do I have lack of it? You know, am I thriving for something? And, you know, is it obtaining what I want, or is the whole notion of perseverance, you know, much more important to my journey, which for me lately, especially an accumulative part of me being December 21st, 2012, today, is that there's nothing more important to me than sustaining myself on the next vibratory rate of the fifth dimension. I mean, nothing matters to me but birthing myself into that dimension. And, you know, I love this radio show. I love sharing. I love the people, the plants, the animals, the stuff, my car, whatever. I love all that stuff. But truly, it's like, you know, I've made a commitment to myself. And it's so funny because I was so commitment phobic on so many things for the majority of my quote unquote awakened journey. And the reason why I didn't commit really makes sense to me now, because I'm so aware now of the false light and the falseness that was vying for my commitment, vying for my, you know, my worshiping to it. And this is not just, you know, gurus in India and ascended masters. Even science wants, you know, our commitment to believe that what science says is truth, when I now know science to be significantly lagging behind in mm-hmm. truth. You know, there are so many technologies on the planet that I clearly know exist between watching the full series of X-Files and Fringe, as well as this new the Touch series. You really start seeing the technologies are within us. These are not necessarily, I mean, I know they exist, but if they exist outside of us, that means that at some place it's in me. And, you know, I guess what I'm trying to share with everybody is this whole polarized experience, there's an accumulation to where I am today is, if I'm polarized, it means one thing. Like, the pain does one thing. It forces me to go within. Okay, therefore the pain is my friend, because if I don't go within, I don't experience, and I can't trust and have confidence of that which I am. I can never find confidence in who I am outside of me. That's one of those convex belief systems. We're not going to find it in anything, including nature. Nature literally helps us go back in. So I like being in nature, but nature can't give me my confidence. My confidence, it can only be found inside of me. Just as all the technology and the tools and the ability to bilocate and ultimately what my goal is, to jump this vibrational frequency and stay in this vibrational frequency, which for me, the only thing that keeps showing up is I've got to integrate myself in order to be buoyant enough to be in the fifth. The fifth dimension really just, by frequency and design, you can't, if there's any kind of, you know, if I have a judgment about myself, I'll be too heavy to be in the fifth dimension. So I have to look at all of these judgments, belief systems, angst, uncomfortablenesses, all of this is the journey within, which is ultimately the journey to a paradise that I have wished for, wanted, desired. It's the only other thing I've desired more than having a child. And so it's so funny, not having, quote-unquote, the baby in this lifetime, which, of course, and then the funny part is, by not having my own child, I've been a nanny, so I've essentially raised about, I don't know, anywhere between 8 to 12 children, which I can promise you would have never happened if I was giving birth. I just don't see me spitting out 12 kids. I just don't see that happening. You know, so of course it focused me in a space where I knew I needed to be around children. Children are absolutely a wonderful reflection for me, for this whole frequency jumping aspect of what I desire. And it's not just, you know, and it's so funny because I work around people who truly, you know, people can have children for many different reasons. It's not always, in fact, most of the people I work around, they're not even close to having children to show them the frequency jumping, you know, appreciation. That is just not what most people see children as. So meaning I don't even know if I would have gotten quite this aspect if it was my own. You know, it might have been convoluted as well, you know, with everybody else. So, you know, I guess so ultimately the share is, you know, seeing the opposites, you know, how much, whatever you're looking at, if it's challenging your life, I really invite you to look at its opposite, because it cannot not be in your life simultaneously. It is there. And to align with it, that is the... that's the journey of the soul. And once we're in that journey in full momentum and full swing, it will be, we will have a conscious walk into the next level of frequency, when the earth goes, we'll go with her. It will be effortlessly.
Hey, you know, it's interesting. You know, when you said coming into acceptance of something, you know, I was like, well, it's probably the same as trust. I mean, because
right.
when you're, they right. pretty much probably are hand in hand or,
That's
you
a
know.
Good point.
Right, right. So, but the other thing is, it just because I was looking at the, as you're talking, I'm looking at the pictures that you put on, you know, the, where the phone number is and all, and I'm looking and I'm going, okay, so remind me, is this because we're right in the center right now? Like, is that what this time today is, that we've lined
well,
up with
right.
the center?
Well, we're already moved out of it. I guess, according to what I heard, it only lasts for like 8 minutes.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, but the truth is, from, you know, a galactic perspective, we're in the neighborhood of the center.
Okay, okay.
So,
now,
but yes, that yes.
I guess, you know, for me, that's actually, that's like fun. You know, I'm like, ooh, that's really
yeah.
fun. No, because I'm looking at this picture and, you know, I'm looking that where you have the earth and the, you know, yeah, and it just, I was like, oh, yeah. And it's all coming back to me now. We're in the center, you know, so,
right
yeah,
on.
I mean,
right
whatever that means, I just, I get excited about it, you know, I
yeah.
think that, for me, it's promising and you know, where you literally do, you probably don't turn a corner, you kind of go around one or some, I don't know. But
well, or you go
no,
through it.
There is, right.
But no,
well,
there is
thinking,
right angles. So you're right.
Right.
There is
oh, there
a
is?
Corner. Yes. Well, yeah,
oh,
actually,
okay.
Stuart Weil talks about if you want to shift dimensions, it's literally done at 45-degree angles. If you can learn how to literally shoot your like essence out in a 45-degree angle, you'll hit parallel dimensions and things. So there is actually
wow
in metaphysical science something to do with angles and right angles, meaning corners.
Oh, that's really okay. That's cool, because you'd almost think in the natural world there is no such thing, but that's probably just another, like, you know, inaccurate, you know, thing.
Right.
But yeah. So that's
right.
No. I was just really thinking, wow, it really is like the center thing where we were. You know, you and I have been talking about it for a while and fascinated
yeah.
by it, and you know, I find it exhilarating and exciting, and it's almost like, it's here.
It's here. Well, you know, and when I think to myself, you know, today's the center, because I was like, wow, is this what it's going to feel like? You know, like, quote unquote, have we arrived? And again, I got arrived. You know, George basically says, you know, it's the cycle of equinoxes. This is a solstice. So we still, first of all, have another 3 months before the, quote unquote, this technically ends, even though, you know, it's interesting because he says that, and yet Drumvalo Melchizedek is working with the Mayans, and they're all doing ceremony tomorrow and today. So, you know, again, I guess, you know, follow whatever feels right to you. I mean, for me, it feels like, in all honesty, I actually feel like I am consciously in the birth canal.
Okay.
And for the first time, I've done regression, but I never regressed myself to, I guess there are certain hypnotherapists that will regress you to your birth. If
yeah.
it was traumatic, there it can leave, you know, imprints, and that makes total sense to me. I've never had to do that. I've never, you know, my mom loved me and she wanted me, but I truly do feel like I'm consciously aware of, you know, if, let's, you know, for a moment, let's think about the pressure we were under going through. Well, and here's the funny thing, which, of course, is hitting me. God damn, I'm such an idiot. No, I love myself. Don't worry. I was born C-section. I didn't even go through the birth canal. I just realized that. It's like, wait a minute, Goldie. You were a C-section baby. Well, maybe this was the time before. All day long, I'm referencing, God, this is what the baby must feel like. It's so tight and compressed, and yet there's this amazing world coming out at the other end. And, I mean, I, you know, I still stand by what I feel, even though it wasn't this lifetime clearly that I got that. But I really, with all my heart, feel that we're in the canal. This mm-hmm. is clearly not the end of time. And, you know, I dare any of you to stop peeing midstream, because that's what it would be like to say we're ending it right now.
And for anyone who doesn't know, I was a labor and delivery nurse for 7 years, so I know the birth process pretty well. So Goldie.
You've had the outside experience, well, and you've also mm-hmm. given birth to two children. Well, they were in C-section.
They were C-sections.
Both of them.
Yeah.
How funny.
Yeah.
Were you a C-section, or
no?
Did you come
I was
through?
Not a C-section. Yeah,
okay.
I was the third baby, so I think it was pretty, you know, easy compared to, like, you know, the first. And
Remember when I said that, it's so funny because I'm getting this right now. Remember when I said that I have a phobia of water? I don't even think I have it so much anymore. I'm at least relating with it much differently, you know, between the Y and the whirlpools and the reservoir.
Yeah.
But it almost seems like they created, you know, the powers that be created this C-section thing, because if we were to have come through our mother's birth canal, we really would know when we were going through the galactic mother's birth canal and the planetary mother's birth canal. So, like, they, you know what I mean? Like, they tried to withhold it so we didn't have that memory.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is somewhat abused, for sure. You know, I'm sure
the whole idea of you have one, you have to have them all, that's what
right.
my mother was told. Yeah,
right.
I mean, that's
true.
Come on, that's bullshit
on
a stick.
That's what they told people. So.
Well, and it's funny because now that we're actually going through, I don't know, something of a birthing process, mm-hmm. it just seems so funny how I referenced it even though I didn't even experience it. You know, in this lifetime, but, you know, multidimensional. As I become multidimensional, you know, clearly I'm sure I was born in other lifetimes and other aspects of me that that do feel like what I'm in right now. And, you know, again, when I hear, you know, this is the end, it's like, wait a minute, I'm not out yet. You know, I haven't been birthed yet. You can't call it a day now. I mean, what, are you going to leave me in the birth canal? It's just not going to happen. I'm coming. I'm gonna birth. I mean, I hope it's within the 3 months. Drumbelow's latest talk, which had a lot to do with the White Brotherhood and Ascended Masters, and I pretty much I let that stuff go. That is not my journey. But I did listen to. He said that the Mayans have a window between 2007 and 2015. For the Earth to start showing signs that it's going to go into the birthing process,
mm-hmm.
and he said they don't know what it's going to be. It could be the beginning of an ice age. It could be solar flares taking out the electrical grids. It could be a number of different things. They don't know what it will be, but according to the Mayans, there's still another 3 years. You know, we're still in the prophecy. We haven't left the prophecy, and that resonated to me because I'm like, you know, this is an interesting day, but this feels so mentally contrived.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The energy that's running all rampant right now is, you know, a bunch of OCD people looking to, you know, grab the first starlight where there's no pain and it's all love and light, and get me the hell off this quote unquote. You know, prison planet, you know, because they're more than happy to create the havoc. They just don't really want to take responsibility for integrating it. Since, like, you know, the energy, you know, the schizophrenic of myself, when I was lying down on the ground, you know, it was interesting. Again, I could feel it, but I could feel so many other layers of, you know, you're good, Goldie. This mama got you. And I'm like, I got you too, mama. And I am good. It's funny because I used to want so bad to be there already. But I'll be honest with you, this process of getting there is so intense, I'm happy to just go through the process. As you know, I don't need to rush things anymore. I'm no longer looking, let me be first, because
yeah,
it's just not, you know, I'm doing everything I can to just, you know, okay, I'm you know, I'm staying afloat here. It's all good. No need to rush it to the front. I mean, you know, because when I was holistic thinking three times a day and, you know, literally driving my mind, and because you know what it was, the minute I stopped holistic thinking, everything became kind of stabilized again, where today, you know, that there's really no stabilization. I'm very clear that things are unstable, very unstable. And again, let's go back to the layers. I'm on several layers, and I'm not afraid of that. And I'm also not looking, you know, to try and manipulate that, because I can't even imagine, you know, if I push on this energy, it's going to push me back in multidimensional ways. I don't, you know, like, Jesus, I can't even wrap my head around that. It's like, I'm just going to kind of float and go. And, you know, if I get triggered, okay, deal with it. And then float and go. You know,
right.
I'm not looking for any fast track to ascension ways. I don't need the 12th dimensional shield. I don't need any of that. I'm just, you know, living every day, trying to keep my body as limber and as, you know, I love being in the water. I'm so sad that my beautiful whirlpool that pummeled me. Oh, Lisa's here.
Yeah.
Lisa, I want to do energy work with you or massage work with you.
You're right.
I'll connect. I'll have Janine talk to you, and I'll talk to you privately. Because you know, the new whirlpool I go to does not pummel me the way the Norwalk's whirlpool was. So awesome how it was just such a powerful stream of air that literally was pummeled on my back, and I loved it. And at this point, I'm going to probably, if I want that, you know, I'm going to have to save about, you know, $5,000 and build my own jacuzzi that, you know, with, you know, we'll put the jet engine in it or however this works. And, you know, but until then, I enjoy being in the water, but it is not relieving my muscles the way the Y was. And see, again, there it is, because I laugh going, you know, the Y was open for 95 years. Mm-hmm. I caught it in the last 2 months. I mean, what are the odds on that?
But it's funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here because I was just thinking how when you first posted, you know, I joined the Y, I'm going to do the work. I was like, oh, what? How, that's so great. And you know, it was a great, I mean, it was an introduction backward to me, like for you, you know, a great back into the water, being good
right.
to your body. So right. you know, and where it's led you. I mean, it is disappointing that, you know, after all those years, it has to close now, but, you know, then it's taken you to this other place, and...
No, that's true. That's
yeah.
right, because I just want to share with the audience, you know, being in a public bath, which is, I mean, God bless. I used to have issues around me being naked, and I still do, but boy, lots of other women, no issues around that at all. It's amazing how somebody standing bare-ass naked in front of you can have the most normal conversation. But it's interesting because being in this public bathhouse, I'm really dealing with a lot of things, the emotional and socialisms that I have, removed myself from since doing my journey and in Fairfield County. And, you know, I've done a lot of it, you know, very isolated, and because it was, I didn't feel confident or safe, you know, to sit in a meditative state, you know, in a public space. And you know, now
I would be the same way. You know, there's a certain holding back, hesitancy, don't want to, you know, even an exposure, a vulnerability,
yeah.
you know,
yes.
and you know, certain, just want to, you know, want it my way, want my own privacy. So there is a certain, I think, to me, there, for you, but it would be the same for me. It's almost like a more confident place of the willingness to do that, you know, and experience whatever discomfort comes up for you or not. I mean, maybe, you know, and then being surprised, like, oh, look what I'm doing here. You know, I never would have done this like a year ago, you know. So I think, you know, it's similar to like, you know, me saying, yeah, I want to learn to sing the river song in my from my book, and probably even do it at a reading for kids or something. And I mean, like 4 or 5 years ago, I would never have thought it. You know, it would be like, no way. So it's interesting to see how we've come along, and we're willing to, you know, put ourselves in places we wouldn't have before. You know,
No, exactly. And I'm telling you, this is part of the journey that, you know, because initially, you know, going into the self, it's dark, it's scary, it's, you know, let's be honest, it's where we kept all our ugly.
Yeah.
You're going to initially hit ugly. So when you're doing the ugly from, you know, when that's the top layer you're in, you're not going to want to get dressed up and go to the bar and be fluff, fluff, nice, nice to, you know, strangers on a dance floor, per se. You know, you just don't feel that. You're really, you know, it's what I call the puking stage. You know, you're purging shit out of your being, and you're not purging it because you drank too much. You're purging it because you're going into it and you're acknowledging it and you're accepting it and you're loving self. It's okay there, because you know this is repetitive stuff, but we all came to a dualistic place.
Oh dear, not repetitive.
<I know. laughs> remembered.
Dear. Oh yeah, I remember everything. Don't worry.
Yeah, me and Janine were accused of being repetitive, and you know, and we both stood up and said, "Guilty as charged. We are repetitive."
And I'm going to keep repeating it.
because there's value in the repetition of what we share, because this is how you uncondition yourself. Literally, choice by choice by choice, it comes back where you're, you know, to see things differently. You know, because when I was listening to the Drunvalo talk, it really hit me that he goes, okay, so there's another 3 years. Potentially this window is somewhere between today and 3 years. And And I laughed and I went, okay, so what are we going to do with that 3 years? You know, are we going to focus on our own integration? Are we going to focus on, and I promise you, if you go into the ugly, you will see a beautiful side of yourself, and not just see it, but here's the truth. I stand, you know, in my plump little, you know, what do they call that? My thighs having, you know, the ripples of cellulite. Mm-hmm. I stand in my pregnant bathing suit in the YMCA amongst very toned, worked out younger women,
mm-hmm.
and I'm confident that, you know, I'm supposed to be there, and it's okay that I'm there. You know, I can tell you I'm still working on the issues of being triggered by, quote unquote, these beautiful people. They've been a part of my, where I live, literally. When you live in very wealthy areas, it's like, you know, there's a magnetism to the what society calls physical beauty. And that's always intimidated me. Because I'm very average. I'm more average now than I've ever been, but I'm just average, you know. But I'll tell you, the confidence of the journey I'm on, the confidence of what I'm doing in my own time and space, of the integration of my shadow side and the compassion I feel for the planet, as well as what I'm starting to learn to feel for humanity, and I'm just starting to learn that. Is extraordinary. I do have beautiful moments, quite beautiful moments, that have nothing to do with when the woman looks at me and goes, you know, well, what are you doing here? And it's like, you know, they can look at me and I you know, I'm like, you know, hey, I paid to be here too. You know,
did someone say that to you?
Not in words, but that was, you know, the cross-eyed look, and then they roll their eyes at you. You know, and you just want to, you know, I just want to turn around and fart, or, you know, pick my nose, or, you know, just do something to fucking drive them crazy, because, you know, because I laugh and I go, you know, these places have been inherently for the wealthy and the beautiful, and it's like, you know, this is the change that's happening on the planet is all of us who are average. It's time for us to come out.
Yeah.
Let's come out in our confidence. And not to, you know, not to make them feel bad, but to simply enjoy the splendor that they've been enjoying while we were home cowering, you know, going, oh, my God, I'm not pretty enough. It's like, I don't care if you think I'm pretty enough. I'm going to enjoy this experience because that's what my body wants and that's what my body needs.
By the way, it's so cool because you telling me that today, and then me even saying, you know, I was gonna all of a sudden I did an interview on Tuesday night, right? And you even listened to it, and you said, I can't believe she asked you to read that song. No, she said, will you read this poem? And I said, well, it's a song. And then I realized that the song. I realized, well, it is a song in the book, but I've never really put a tune to it. And then I, like, all of a sudden got the idea that, you know, I would learn to sing that song. And, you know, that's you being in a bathing suit, me singing in front of a group. Those are vulnerable things, but they're really, they're really beautiful, and they're courageous, and they're exposing. And I really feel like I was just thinking as you were talking, going, boy, if right now really the strength of being vulnerable, yet like the paradox is that to be vulnerable would be what? To be, you know, not safe? No, I actually think that the magic, the change, the breakthrough is the willingness to be vulnerable. And, you know, and you, so you standing there in a bathing suit and, you know, and you have people that are like, you know, addicted to working out, and, you know, that's what they rely on. And my solution for them is always, you should gain about 40 pounds and then you could really learn who you are. You know, that's true.
I mean, boy, talk about changing your life.
No, because the over identity to that, you know, to that is, you know, it's just another lockbox to me, you know, so I'm always
It's interesting because women seem to be, you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, as my awareness grows in my own confidence, you know, to see, I see these TV commercials, women selling fragrances.
Yeah.
Where they're literally, I mean, let's be honest, they're selling them, they're like zombie looking emaciated girls with black circles under their eyes. You know, it's almost like, you know, it's a billboard for, you know, I have no self respect and I can be used and abused, you know, Dior.
and I haven't reached womanhood womanhood is too intimidating. So a prepubescent is much more, you know, attractive because it can be overpowered. It's not intimidating. Whereas a person who's come into their quote manhood or womanhood, you know, is much more confident. So why that is more sexually attractive is very bizarre to me. But I really feel that like this time, you know, it was coming up when you were talking. I was like, oh, I bet that's one of the real key, you know, talking about, well, you know, being in the vicinity of the center. I'm going, isn't it
interesting?
The highlight for me was, vulnerability is so key here. You know, the willingness to put yourself, and it really comes into being brave and courageous and doing it anyway. You know, because there is a point where you do decide, I'm not going to let these things limit me. I'm not going, you know, and I know timing is everything.
No. And I just want to say, because it's, for me, it's not that I said I'm not going to limit. The truth is I have the confidence to actually do this, which is, you know, it's not a mental choice. It's simply because when I first went
natural.
To, It's a matter of, you can't, I need that water. That water in the womb is like, my soul went in that hit in the day, go get that. And I went, okay, this is a public place. I'm going to have to find this. And it was a matter of, you know, I loved it. See, at Norwalk, I was dealing with all these wonderfully gray-haired, you know, 60 to 80-year-old women. I loved it. They were just so, I like grandma energy. I really do, where New Canaan is very much, you know, younger moms and, you know, it's just, it's funny because if I had to do New Canaan first off, I don't know that I would have, you know, first built up my confidence in, with grandma. then my soul dropped me, you know, into, you know, the whole L.A. of Fairfield County, and you know, and but it you know, because I've done the mental, okay, I'm going to change my belief system because I'm going to meditate on this, and I'm going to bring in,
right, it was more natural.
It was totally more natural. And what I'm noticing now is the natural consequences of spending time in nature, of genuinely beginning to love myself, which is a process that can't be rushed. It can only be experienced.
Right. And similar to that, I really was surprised to hear myself say to you today, oh, I think I should, you know, get David to learn a flute tune and I'll learn to sing that song. And I was like, wow. I was like, wow. You know, that's new. You're willing to just stand up there and sing the river song. And it's like, believe me, my son has the gorgeous voice, not me, but
I'm sure he got those pipes. You have something to do with him having those pipes.
No, but I'm still willing to do it. It doesn't matter. You know, so it's the noticing of my own, similar to you, just naturally ending up at the Y, and, you know, you know, so I love the fact that, I don't know, there seems to be a natural movement of, for me,
change.
And it's happening, you know, it's just every day. I mean, just to think that a week ago today, I can't believe a week ago today, I was going over that pass and, you know, got myself to Dingle and did the reading and, you know, it's just, and came back home and to the cottage, and, you know, it was just, I don't know, it just felt really great, you know, and so these are the, I guess these are the gifts of, you know, getting nervous, feeling weird, doing it anyway, and not letting apprehension or nervousness stop you, because I really think that it actually is the tip off to helping us, you know.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, that's like I said, you know, it's like saying we're going to stop now. It's the end time now. You don't stop in the compression. You don't want to stop at that point. You know, first of all, what the hell are you going to do with a baby in the middle
of
your...
would be like, you know what, that's when they get out the forceps, speaking of labor and delivery, you know. I mean, you know, so no, it doesn't have to be that way at all. You know, it can be...
Right, well, because you'll move through. You know, there is challenging parts, absolutely.
Of course.
But they are met with just the same intensity in the breakthrough as you get in the challenge, because it's the nature of life. It can't be. You don't get intense challenges with only little breakthroughs. That's not the way it works.
No, exactly. It's the nature of life. I love that.
Yeah.
No, it's and wanting something and, you know, not getting it and kind of looking at it and, you know, then coming into a wisdom about it and a trust about it and acceptance and seeing how, you know, it's almost like, okay, you know, that is the nature of life. I mean, I find myself saying that quite often, like, but this is life, you know,
remember
the story I was telling you about the woman who asked me, you know, what should she do? How should she deal with when she gets really sad about losing her husband? What could she do for the mourning? And I said, you know, I just want to tell you, don't do anything. You know, there's no tricks through this. There's no, you know, speedy way through it. This is life. Like, you know, allow the process. And I was talking to my friend. Yeah, she was uncomfortable after the shooting, and you know, she was feeling, and I, and like, what should I do? I was like, don't do anything. You know, it just that those emotions are up because they need to be. You know, so it's not like, how do I trick my way out of it? How do I speed up the process? You don't. And I think that's the template of the flow of like the beauty or the grace or the elegance of working with yourself, because that's really what you're doing. You know, you're literally working with yourself. So why would you want to, you know, artificially force something? I mean, that in itself.
Listen, all you have to do is look around in your life, and it could be your life, it could be somebody you know.
Yeah.
Who do you know who's mentally contriving to keep something together? There's got to be somebody in your life that, you know, all the signs, or whether it's somebody in a relationship or somebody in a business, you know, where all the signs are so obviously pointing to releasing it. And you see the person literally making excuses after excuses after excuses, not doing the one thing that would set them free, which is let go.
Right.
You know, because
right.
I promise you, if you can see it in them, it's to tell you that when it happens to you, let them be the witnessing them be the guide to you that goes, the suffering only continues the more mental, you know, output. Like, I say to people all the time that I talk to on the phone, you know how you know when you're in your mind, where if when you relax, all shit hits the fan. You know, like, if relaxing is when your life goes into chaos, you're not doing that enough. In other words, let it go into chaos.
Right, exactly.
You controlling it through the mind is humbly an error in the use of your energy. Because
well, it's an illusion, too.
You know, you're going against your own soul. That's the illusion.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's all yourself for yourself. So, like, the illusion would be that you're actually controlling something when the forces of nature and the forces of life and the life force, they're not
supporting
like,
what you're wanting. They're
no.
not supporting it.
And they won't. So it's like,
and they'll never support it. And but now here's the thing. Now what? This is what I've learned when I was mentally, you know, trying to convince Scott to love me. Now, and this is the truth. When you release it, it goes through something where it can show up anew. See, as
right.
it, because like Carolyn Mace has spoken about, if there's a relationship you're in and you're desperately seeking confirmation from this person, whether a parent, a spouse, whoever, a teacher, it's like your soul is literally keeping that person from confirming for you, because it can't let that person confirm you. Your soul's going, you've got to confirm yourself. And so until you let that person go, and then you'd be surprised, let that person go, and they come back confirming you. It's like, I had that relationship with my dad. Because it's weird, but it's wonderfully weird. And see, when we start understanding the mechanics of life,
we can
become in alignment with, okay, so ultimately, first I have to have it in myself, then the outside world can give it to me. It will not happen before then, and you'll know it's not happening if, when you just sit back, take a breath, and relax, if you can feel it, everything starts collapsing. The fear starts rising and the chaos starts descending, and you're going, oh my God, this is going. It's, you know, that really is a telltale sign. Okay, let that happen, because once you get into alignment with the soul's manifestation for your life here, well, now, sweeties, we are talking a whole new ride. It's. You start, you know, I mean, I don't get excited when I'm out of sync, but I know that it will not take long to put me back into sync, because I know it. It's just a matter of, you know, I have my tools. I have Mother Nature. I have Janine. You know, I have Dakini. I have my friends. You know, I know what I need to do, and I'm literally on red alert until it gets done. And at this point, it's usually in less than 24 hours. You know, and I'm back to, you know, a happy little pig in the mud, you know, going, okay, you know, just going about my day and seeing what the next thing will come up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's as it should be, because that's exactly what, you know, these things come up because they still exist within you. So, you know, and you
right.
use the word mechanics, which I totally get. And I thought that there's also the word forces. Like, for me, the example you used is really perfect, because the more you try to control something, the more the forces yourself, you know, really are they're like, this is when you're able to track yourself, you
right.
can really see, oh, if I can shift the paradigm by literally uncontrolling the situation, like
uncontrolling, exactly.
Right. Uncontrolling. Right. So, and this is like one of my, you know, I all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is good. This is good stuff, because it really is. I mean, this is the stuff that makes such a huge difference when, like, your world, your life really does shift into a place where you start getting giggly, going, really? Really?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That some amazing things can happen in a way that, you know, we have these pictures of what we think should happen, and then when we let go of those things, all of a sudden stuff's happening where you're like, oh, I could have never created, you know, I never would have thought that would have been a potential. And that's,
right.
I mean, yeah, so I love... I love
that's
the
exactly
idea.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and I love the idea that it's ourselves that's doing all
it
this.
It is ourselves that are doing
it. I really love that. Because
yeah, no,
because
no ascended master necessary.
Exactly.
No angels, no gods, no gurus, no ascended masters. You know, it's so funny that you say that, because one of the things that I got in these past couple of weeks is that I see this violet magenta light at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm driving at night in the white headlights, it's not just the headlights, it's actually the light, like my headlight reaches out, I don't know, about 15 feet. Within the, wherever there's white light, it turns purple.
Okay.
And it's exquisite, right? So, and all of a sudden it hit me that, okay, so organically people have said that, you know, the new dimension that we're going to be stepping into is going to be this, the color is going to be this burgundy and this magenta. So, you know, what is everybody shouting from the rooftops? You know, bring in the violet flame of Saint Germain.
Mm-hmm.
And I laugh because, you know, I go, see, now that's the artificial kind of hooking into the organic. See, it's happening anyways. This isn't about Saint Germain bringing in the violet flame. The violet is the color of the consciousness of consciousness that's more aware than the consciousness we're coming out of. You know,
mm.
that we're, and the reason why I say that is because it struck me so profoundly, like, because see, the minute, it's like what Eckhart Tolle says, the minute you label it,
yeah,
it's no longer
yeah.
organic. Now it's something contrived from the mind. And according to George Kavassalis, energy, bringing in lights and, you know, frequencies from, you know, ascended masters and of the such, it's literally like, it's similar to heroin and addictions.
Yeah.
You know, it's
no, that makes
literally
sense, because you're right. It's like anytime you go outside of self for some kind of injection, you know, yeah, that's right. It is. It's artificial stimulation. It is. It's
exactly.
Or artificial feeding, or, you know, artificial you know, not high. I don't.
No, it is.
Sort of,
it is. Trust me,
yeah,
from a drug addict.
Form,
yes,
right.
You're
right.
Looking for the high. ER.
So you know, once again, like a really good place to track. Like, so this is like. This is just an interesting thing, not like a, uh-oh, you know, I do that a lot. You know, it's like all you want to do is track how often do we go outside of self and look for something, you know, outside
of
ourselves.
To empower us.
Empower us. Because you're right, that is really, George, that's a good point. I haven't heard him say that, but it is a form of a drug addiction or a outside source to, you know, boost us. When
well,
in fact,
That's a
very good question.
Well, because what I want people to know is, and of course, on a day like December 21st, 2012, so if you didn't get the quote-unquote, you know, remember there was a Mayan video going around that for 8 minutes you were going to feel,
right.
You know, this amazing experience and write down all the things you had. And if that didn't happen for you today, this totally hit me outside. That's not the way the organic plays. That means you're not hooked into the artificial. Celebrate that it was just another day. Because when Mother Earth is ready to make this shift into the new, we're either going to go into something like an ice age, you know, the sun is going to blurt, you know, is going to fart, and all the electricity is going to go out on the entire planet, by the way, not just little sections, the entire planet. When the organic wants to make this shift, trust me, you're going to know it's going to happen. And if it didn't happen today, it really is a telltale sign you're not on the artificial path. Because I promise you, those on the artificial path, you're going to see them all over Facebook, and you're going to hear them in your sewing circles, how the amazing energy that they felt up their kundalini spines and the amazing, you know, purple light that came and cleansed of them of all their sins and devils and demons, you know. And, you know, you can giggle to yourself and go, you know, yeah, no, it was just another day for me, but, you know, I'll wave to you when you're on those starships heading out to whatever.
It's so funny you said that, because the part of me that's like kind of a, you know, the pan or the brat or I was like, oh, that must have been the 8 minutes when I was like going to buy that milk chocolate bar. I was in the store and I was like looking, and I'm going, ooh, that looks good, you know, it was so giant I didn't buy it because I would have eaten the whole thing, but I'm going, maybe that was the 8 minutes when I really had to.
That very could have been. Was it this morning? Well, when is 11:11 Greenwich Mean Time? I don't know what time that is for us on the East Coast. That's what I believe.
I don't know. But
that
there was a lot of
chocolate
bought in that 8 minutes.
See, if it was me, I would have bought the chocolate.
I know.
When I come up, I'm buying the chocolate. I'm here to bring your devil out.
It was such a giant bar. I was like, you know,
yeah,
I was
it's
like,
all good. It's all
I had to use some form because I was like, you'll just down this whole thing, and then, you know, you'd be on the radio show and Goldie's had coffee and you've had chocolate.
Yeah, we'll never, either one of us, we won't get a word in edgewise.
So anyway.
No, that's cool. Well, right. And so, again, you know, just a heads up that if today was just a day, you know, that's a beautiful thing, you know. Again,
yeah.
You know, me and Janine have spoke of this. Peace doesn't scream from the rooftops with, you know, bling around its neck going, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't even, because I want to say we've arrived. But the truth is, you know, this is really still, I don't even believe the end of the cycle. This, you know, we still have till March 21st, 2013. And again, that doesn't even mean that, you know, it was interesting. Gervalo goes, the masculine works very much with precision.
Mm-hmm.
So the masculine is, you know, at exactly 11:11 Greenwich Mean Time, we are in the connected center of the galactic, you know, we are connected to the galactic center. He goes, the feminine doesn't work like that. The feminine wakes up one day and goes, hey, I think we should shift today. Yeah, about 3 o'clock sounds good. It's like, and, you know, come on, ladies. You know that's how, you know, if it was our choice in the world, isn't that how we would run the world? You know, you'd wake up and say, you do it if you feel like it, but you don't if you don't, and
well, it's
like all
intuitively.
Okay.
It's intuitive.
Intuitively.
You know,
exactly.
or by feel, or by, you know, like, you know, just resonance.
All of that, exactly.
Or, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
and like you
you'll
said,
know
like
it
water.
When this is going to happen. We'll all, you know, and then, you know, truth be told, we probably won't do a radio show because, you know, when it's all going to happen, you know, it was funny because at one point Dromvalo was like, you know, don't worry, we'll help you through all this. And, I mean, I appreciate Dromvalo. I believe he's going artificial because he's totally working, quote unquote, amongst the Great White Brotherhood and the Ascended Masters, and you know that's just not that's not my gig, and I know it's not Janine's either, but you know when because he was like you know when he was talking about the when Mother Nature starts this he goes you know it could start an ice age and you know I don't know how many people know this but it takes approximately 72 hours to start an ice age, you know literally.
Yeah.
Something shifts in whatever it is, the temperature of our planet, and we're in an ice age. You know, it's like, so again, you know, when I hear things like that, this is, it's like, I mean, for me, pretty much my whole life, but definitely consciously the last couple of years, I do what I love to do. You know, I love being in the forest because it makes me feel great. You know, I love doing this radio show because it makes me feel great. I love my relationship with Janine. She makes me feel great. You know, it's like, I say that, you know, meaning I haven't really, I've let go of the whole mind thing, you know, I should diet because then I'd be more accepted. You know,
mm-hmm.
I let go of things like that. I should buy clothes from JCPenney or whatever because then I'd be more accepted. You know, it's like, you know, those are my things. I just recommend that, you know, you look at what really is motivating you and inspiring you. Because if indeed we've got 3 years, I invite everybody, have fun with yourself in these 3 years. Do it because it feels good for you to do something. You know, and if you can, flip the belief that if it pisses off your family, you're probably doing something right.
Exactly.
I invite you to flip that belief. I know I've enjoyed it. And now my father supports my, like everything I do, my father supports, you know, and it's just amazing. You know, today is definitely an awesome day in an awareness. But it is not what quote unquote, you know, I laugh these on Facebook, they have these 2012 review of the year, and what they're kind of basing it on is posts that you have that might have stood out because you had more numbers, you know, you had a lot of replies, or you know the numbers were big. So I was looking at my 2012 Facebook review, and you know, talked about when I got the job with Aiden, which, you know, I laughed because I got the job and then didn't get paid for a month, and that was a first. but the things that Facebook was pointing out for me as being big moments in my life, they missed so many of my big moments. And it struck me because those moments happened within me. And as much as I can want to share them on Facebook, it's not really, it's shared in my presence and in my connectedness and in my confidence, but you can't really share these things. I mean, I share them with Janine in the sense of because Janine goes through them as well. We've connected each other that, you know, we actually influence each other because we're both immediately the first when there's trouble, you know, in our functioning, we immediately go within ourselves. That there's no blame. We just don't we don't speak about it because it's not what we're about. It's okay, you know, I was triggered. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and we share our perspectives, and you know, but it's just such a, it made me laugh because everybody's looking, you know, for this, to be in community, and I can appreciate being in community, but it's an interesting thing to be in community but not being in self. Because if you're in self, like one of the things I truly got today was the people who I see who are mentally constructing their lives and not letting go of things that are so obviously, you know, not working out for them, they're very busy and they're very busy in their doingness, you know, and they're creating projects and they're going to school and they're going to work and, you know, busy. But, you know, the truth is, from a frequency vibration point of view, it's artificial. So you're in your mind. You're really not contributing to the whole from the organic perspective, because you're still in a subset timeline. That's the artificial. It's subset. Where, you know, when you're doing the work of integration and you're alone and you're miserable, but you know it's the work you need to do because you can feel it in your heart that you're taking pieces of self back in and loving it once again and accepting that which you've created. I mean, literally, the cosmos is the community you're working for. I mean, because you're literally affecting planets that have your frequency and races of people that have your frequency. And, you know, it's just, again, it's so opposite where, you know, the powers that be will tell you, you want to do community work, you know, get out there and protest. You know, that what you fight, you become. The protesting, I see millions of people, and I, you know, it's great to see millions of people together, but I would love to see millions of people together talking about the integration. Because as long as you're still waving your finger at somebody else for doing something you didn't like, you're not really doing much for the community. You're still feeding the artificial timeline, which is, again, you know, totally your option. It's just, I'm here to speak to the people that when you are doing things, quote unquote, selfishly to put your life back together, you could not be doing more for the entire universe than that. And that's an actuality. That this is not Goldie's opinion. You know, I hear it all the time. People go, okay, this is my truth, you know, but your truth is your truth. Sorry, guys. This is the truth. You want to do stuff for the one, then get your own shit together.
Well, that, you know, you know, the thing is what, you know, you were saying, you know, noticing, and I remember Angela Arion, you know, such an influential person in my life and such a proponent of meeting all these things with a great enthusiasm for challenge rather than being afraid of them. And
exactly.
She'll start off a conversation to me or to a group like, hey, and, you know, she'll be saying it in like a playful, positive, but like, in, you know, kind of intriguing way, like, hey, what's working you? And basically that's an invitation.
Great question.
Right. It's an invitation to like, see, you know, what is working you? And what I loved about what you just said is, that when you do take on what's working you and you look at it as a place of interest and challenge, but with, like, you know, excitement, that is an act of responsibility. And when you do that kind of work consciously and tracking, first of all, bizarrely, it becomes fun, which is it does, and it's like, because you feel the momentum and the movement, and what ends up happening is literally you start immediately changing your field or your environment around yourself, and then your environment around you, and, you know, I would call that your field. And
I agree.
It's accurate that you said it starts to change the universe, because it does. It's your field, and your field goes out, at, you know, eternally, or however that word is.
Well, globally and universally and galactically cosmically,
there's no
the layers of existence.
Right, there's no limitation to where your field goes. Right,
That's true.
Field just moves out and out and out and out from center of yourself. So, you know, it is the most responsible thing to do. And oddly, it's fun. You know, like, you and I mean, when you're in it, but it's all of a sudden what's working you becomes interesting. It doesn't become the dreaded, you know, what a loser I am and, you know,
exactly.
Oh my God.
Right,
it just it takes on a whole opposite excitement.
You become the interesting main character of your
right.
story. I mean, boy, if you can't focus on yourself and find yourself interesting, you know, what a loss you're not experiencing because of that. There's nobody more interesting to you than
right.
you.
Right.
You know,
right. And Goldie, when you're, as you know, and I know, and this is what I think, when you start to see as your field changes and, you know, however that affects it, your world does literally change. I mean,
absolutely.
And that is kind of the, you know, that kind of like know thyself.
That's the carrot.
Or the truth
yeah,
will
the
set
reason.
You free, or, you know,
right.
or, you know, all those like, or the paradigm shifts. Those are the paradigm shifts. You know,
right.
they
right.
literally start with self. And so, you know, I think that, you know, it's so funny because I'm, you know, I like the idea of the whole center thing. It's just sort of fun for me to think of that. And then I'm thinking,
That's cool.
And it's truly all about the center within the self, because that's where, you know, that's how the field changes. I mean, literally.
Right. Center is where the zero point is going to happen. It's where all
right.
of it's going to collapse.
But it's
into.
Inside yourself. You
it
know?
Is inside yourself.
Right.
It is.
Right.
Because nothing you see outside is actually outside. It's just
right.
a version of what's inside.
Right, right, which is all that fractal understanding, you know.
And holographic universe, exactly.
Right, so I just think that for me there's been some, you know, like noticing our conversation tonight. I just noticed the, hey, what's working you, you know, don't be afraid of it. See it as a challenge and that your field will change and your world will change, and it's the responsible thing to do. It's the best way to be, you know, help not only yourself but everyone. But also I love the idea of the vulnerability, because, you know, when you notice you're like, there's this great saying by Rilke, I think, or something, but those that are willing to be vulnerable get to know the mysterious, you know. And I think that it's really true. Like, when I've become in any kind of situation where, you know, I want to put up the front, but I don't. I show my vulnerability. Amazing things happen. You know, you could go into that, like, you know, self-defense mode, put up the wall, get cocky, you know, start, you know, and then I go, no, don't go that way. You know, and, you know, you show your vulnerability. It's like, wow, that who could have thought that could happen, you know, and the exchange between people when that literally, that's when universes do change, because I watch it happen in relationships.
That's exactly where I watch it as well. Definitely.
Right. Right.
Definitely.
So each relationship is like the universe.
Well, according to George, when two people are having an argument,
right.
that literally could be two races on a planet in another solar system, and that when you come
right.
to the agreement, now those two races, you know, and think of it. Think of, you know, the Iranians and the Jews, you know.
Right. That constant, continuous conflict.
Where they're killing each other all the time, you know. It's
yeah.
like, well, so, you know, nothing supports peace everywhere than peace within self. I mean, that is the, you can't fight peace with war. that's you can't fight anything. If you want something, you got to become it. And,
well, you did.
And then,
you posted that Gary Zucker thing, which I thought was really great about the internal violence, and that's the only way anything really changes.
Yeah.
You know, and the only way to handle internal violence is to allow the discomfort to come up so you can deal with it. And not stuff it, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
Right
so
on.
That's the irony of it all.
Exactly. Again, see, in the beginning, it's going to seem counterintuitive. It's going to feel icky having humility. It is. It's going to feel like you know, God, this doesn't feel good. But as you start working the field, like you were talking about, Janine, you really start understanding humility is the only thing that gets you out of icky into soul, which is all about the flow and the beauty from an organic space. You know, we have to acknowledge where we start from. We start in the matrix.
Right.
And the way out of the matrix is you can't fight the matrix. The way you get out of the matrix is in stillness. You literally become aware of the organic surrounding it. You become bigger than the matrix. Mm. That's really how you get out. But you don't get out. You become bigger than it.
Yeah. And I always said, I said this to you, like, I don't know when we spoke. Like, it was when I got back. But it was like, it seems to me that inevitably the organic trumps everything, you know. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So even when you think you're... Even when you think you're stuck and you're in the artificial, really the organic's trumping it all.
Exactly. That's true.
So there's the paradox.
And, you know, and we have two rules around here. Do the impossible and live in the paradox. Beyond that, you know, everybody's individually on their own to create whatever they want.
Where's that milk chocolate?
I'll buy that chocolate when I come up next weekend. So we're gonna lose the stream, but that's okay.
Right.
I felt it was important to say. But please share where people can find you and the lovely Sean, the rabbit thief,
oh,
and all the
yeah.
good stuff.
Well, let's see. I have a website. It's jlkimmel.com, and my book, The Yawning Rapid River Chronicle, has its own Facebook page, and it's on my website. So it's a beautiful story, and I'm really happy with it. So thank
right
you,
on.
Goldie. Thanks
oh,
for
my
today.
My pleasure, babe. Yeah, thank you, babe. We'll probably be doing a show on Monday, right? Get everything back to normal, even though it's only
yeah.
a few days, right?
Oh, and
okay.
it'll be Christmas Eve.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, right
yeah.
on. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
nice.
I want to let everybody know, New Year's Eve is also a Monday night, which is so perfect. So we're going to do the show. And I want to invite everybody to consider writing vows to themselves. If they,
right.
What would you write if you were to have a ceremony uniting you and your soul, or you and your I am, or you and your higher self, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to invite everybody to call in and share those vows on the air, because it's a very powerful experience to publicly share that kind of inspiration and that kind of commitment. And the radio show, me and Janine, we'll be doing ours, correct? We'll do ours again this year?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just so you know, I'm springing this on Janine literally in the moment. I haven't even discussed this with her. But I was thinking about that today, and I wanted to say it the next few radio shows so that people know. New Year's Eve, call in it will change your life. We're all in life-changing experiences, but we can do it consciously, and I invite you guys to do it. So thank you so much. Thank you, Janine.
Thank you.
Yeah, always a pleasure, babe. Always. And
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, we'll speak to everybody soon. Have an amazing weekend. Remember, if nothing happened, you're right on target.
I like
take
that.
Take care, everybody. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Oh,
bye.
I'm so glad I had
time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.
Goodbye.
Good night, everybody. Oh, yeah. Oh.